Hello and welcome to the Feel Good Hairdressing Podcast from Hair Ott Education with me, Laura Ott. My family and I own a group of hairdressing salons and training academies on the south coast of England, which are called Hair Ott. We have been in business for 50 years. During this time, we have opened 8 salons, closed 5 salons, there's been recessions, one pandemic, and numerous government legislation. So we have learned a thing or two. And through these podcasts, we want to share our experiences and knowledge with you in the hope that it helps you run your business. Our last series was all about the salon. This series is all about you. We are focusing on you as an individual and working with experts to equip you with the knowledge to feel more supported and successful in your career. As always, we love to hear from you. Hair Ott Education is on Instagram, and we have our previous series plus some freebies on our website, www.hairott.co.uk. Once you're on the website, go to the education page. Welcome to the first episode of the second series of the Feel Good Hairdressing Podcast from Hair Ott Education. Today I'm joined by Lucy, a hairdresser from our Hair Ott Whiteley branch. Lucy is here to put the spotlight on an essential but sometimes underrated part of the client experience, the consultation. Lucy talks me through the consultation process, including how she approaches different types of clients, how to ask the right questions, and the importance of knowing absolutely everything about the products that you're recommending. I will say, as long as it's safe to do so, go grab a pen and paper, as this episode is brimming with top tips. Today we're talking about consultations, and I have Lucy with me from our Hair Ott Whiteley branch. We did a whole consultation relaunch. Pretty much the crux of the whole consultation now is based on Lucy's experience and Lucy's knowledge. And so welcome, Lucy.
Hello.
Let's find out a little bit more about yourself. So how long have you been hairdressing?
Well, I've been at Hair Ott since I was 13, so it's now 11 years. But I've been a designer for almost 5 years now, and I really love being a designer. Everything about it is incredible.
What made you want to become a hairdresser?
I think the thought of making someone feel really good about themselves, whether that's through their hair, through how they express themselves, anything that leads to that is incredible. And it's nice to have the responsibility to actually do that for someone else.
Have you got anything that you absolutely love doing?
I love mainly doing colour. And I think that, again, bringing me back to my last point, is really how some people express themselves. However, I do also love doing different haircuts, adding in texture, things like this. I think it's really lovely to be able to add different things into haircuts as well, whether or not that be for younger clients, older clients, people that can't always have colour, because that is quite a big thing as well. So it's nice to have the responsibility to also do that.
It sounds brilliant. And then how did you train as a hairdresser?
So I trained via our Hair Ott salon. So beforehand, we used to go via a training company, which was incredible. And then for the last year, it was just via Hair Ott alone, which allows you to express yourself a little bit more. Whereas now we have our own training academy, which is incredible, especially for the young ones coming up, because it allows the younger people to express themselves really, really well through our own Hair Ott standard.
So let's talk about consultations. When were you first introduced to the idea of a consultation?
So consultations practically run throughout my whole training period. So even when I was a Saturday assistant, we used to sit down with the designer and talk about things like shampoos and also lots of things to do with that, including treatments, which was very important because you would like your client or some of the designer's clients to have the understanding and knowledge that you were really, really good at your job. Also, even via shampoos, it can be extremely tailored to the client. So especially very young, we were very in control of consultations, especially for something as minimal, let's say, as shampoo.
So what would a shampoo consultation consist of?
So a shampoo consultation would consist of lots of different questions to tailor everything to that client. For example, if they have any skin or scalp problems, we might need to use a different shampoo or conditioner. Or it could include something as simple as, how is the hair feeling? Is it feeling dry? Which we could also tailor it a little bit more to add in a treatment. And depending on what the client says, we've got a whole different list of things like that, as well as shampoos.
So as a 13-year-old, quite often you'll be talking to like older women,
yeah,
older men. How was it scary?
It was scary at first, but I think when I practically did my training, as soon as you walked out of the staff room doors, you were kind of on stage. Also, I think it came with a lot of confidence. So at first, you were probably less confident, but no one would be able to read that from you because, again, as soon as you're into that salon, you're on the stage. So it was a little bit easier in that way.
So are you kind of saying that you kind of pretended to be confident until you'd done it enough to be confident?
100%. Yeah, 100%.
And then how was your product knowledge? How did you find out about the shampoos and stuff?
It was a hell of a lot easier learning about shampoos and things like that from a young age. Like I've always said now, being 24, that everything comes from your shampoos. And whether or not that was because of how it was drilled into me at quite a young age, that that's how it kind of should be. But especially from a young age, you've just got to read and read and read and read all of the shampoos and everything that they're good at, even down to knowing what specific ingredients are in those shampoos that makes it worthwhile, or even to the point where you think, oh, she's got a flaky scalp, so I won't use XYZ because it's got a little bit of that ingredient which could cause an allergic reaction in the future. So it's everything about knowing everything about the shampoos specifically.
Had you always been a detail person, or was it since you started training you got more into the details?
I think I've always been quite detailed, more of a perfectionist. However, I think then when you start again, like doing your consultations from quite a young age, it makes you realise that actually I am detailed. However, this is so much more than detailed. It's mainly you're trying to really tailor that client's experience to the best that you can possibly be.
Take us on to when you start learning consultations with clients. Do you remember what was kind of like the first things that you learned?
The first things that we learned was more on the basics, which I think was pretty good considering how detailed you then become about shampoos, treatments, for example. When you bring yourselves on to then learning about haircuts and colour, there is so much to ask about. So in theory, because of how detailed you were doing your consultations for shampoo, your consultation in my head could probably last you about an hour all in itself. So you've really got to learn about what questions to ask, especially because some of the questions that you might ask might actually lead you back to the same answers. So you have got to ask various questions that you know is going to get you the knowledge that you need.
Why do you think, I mean, like traditionally hairdressers might have a bit of a bad reputation that all they say is, so like, what are we doing today then? Or why do you think some hairdressers may be nervous about doing consultations?
I think it's a really big thing because a consultation, in my opinion, you have to be dominant to a certain degree. For example, you have to take back that control. A client has come to see you because you're the professional in that relationship or that bond. And I think sometimes it might not always come natural. And again, it didn't always come natural to me at first. But I think by, like I said earlier, when you walk into that salon, that is your stage. So those clients are expecting you to really, really know every bit of knowledge, every bit of product information that there is out there, just to assert that dominance or that knowledge that they need.
So what you're saying is you're the professional and they've come to you for the professional advice. So you need to make sure that you're prepared for that.
Yeah, 100%.
So how do you keep up to date with everything?
Obviously now there's a lot of products that are out there that, again, even with us, we use Wella. And year on year out, they bring out lots and lots of different new products. And they don't happen all the time. So it does give you a good amount of months, let's say, between the next launch to really, really hone in on all of that information. Also, it's really nice if we can get some to actually try it out on ourselves or some of the girls and the boys around us that work, just to make you feel a little bit more confident before that client comes in for that service.
Is there anything, if you're not quite sure of something, what would you say?
There is always going to be someone out there that has the right knowledge about the right products that you are trying to use.
Like achieve a look for.
Yeah, definitely, like achieve a look for. So there is always someone there. It's nice also to sometimes include another person in your consultation. If you aren't feeling as confident about something, then like I said, someone else will definitely know what to do. So bring someone else in because they'll have different opinions and different products that they might know to get you to whatever look that you're trying to achieve.
So like dual consultations.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it does help out quite a lot. So some of the girls, especially coming up this year,
the new designers.
Yeah, the new designers. They might be as confident as they can with our training school. However, working on a real salon shop floor can be quite daunting. So even though they know all of the questions and even though they know how to achieve the look, sometimes you get like writer's block, and we do that in the salon quite a lot. Sometimes it just becomes overwhelming and you need someone to come in and again almost get that control back to you, and you say, well, actually no, I do know what I'm doing, and it's just someone else to give you a little bit more of a break from your brain for a second.
And so you can step back in a way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So if I was a client coming into you, mm-hmm. it was my first visit, what would the consultation process be like?
So I always like to start off by saying, this is my name and obviously, how can I help you today? So that asks a lot of things from the client. Some clients like to be funny and they say, well, I've come for a haircut, in which I reply, well, you were in the right place then. So you've just got to be your 100% true self, not change for anyone. Know that they will feel confident in the way that you haven't changed. And then depending on what service, there'll be a series of questions after that, which will provide that I know what I'm doing for any service required.
So if I was having a cut and design with you, mm-hmm. what would you do?
So quite often, like I said, I would normally walk into the consultation saying, hi, I'm Lucy, it's lovely to meet you, how can I help you today? And they ask for a haircut, and then typically my next question after this would be, well, how long has it been since you last had a haircut? Which will ensure that you know roughly how quick or how little that client's hair actually grows, so you know roughly how much you would be taking off if it's a regular haircut. And then if they reply with whatever they reply with, you'll kind of look in and you might have seen that it's only grown an inch in 8 weeks. So you might not be taking too much off today. And then you can say, well, how is the haircut feeling for you at the moment? So this way, obviously, a client can open up and say that they really enjoy the haircut they have, which you know in your head that you're probably doing a bit more of a copy and paste as opposed to changing the shape. And if they start to say things like, well, I don't really like how this is, and I don't really like how this is, you know that you're kind of walking into a bit more of a shape change today, which brings me on to my next question, which would be, how is the shape feeling for you? And again, this is another area that a client can point out what is working or what isn't working, which would bring you on to talk about if they really are loving their hair, if there's anything they would like to change, which sometimes it's quite important. Say if, for example, one of the designers is on holiday and you get the privilege of looking after their clients, and they might have always had the same haircut, whereas seeing someone new, it brings you into a whole different load of opinions and things that could work really, really well. You just don't want that client to be stuck at all, which gives you the responsibility to change and change it for the better.
Oh, brilliant. So say if somebody wanted more of a change,
yeah.
How do you get an idea of what kind of picture they have in their mind?
So I'm extremely visual. So I will ask if there is any pictures that a client might like. My one main thing is that even if they don't like the colour or the cut or whatever it is to do with the picture, even if they just like 1 inch of the last bit of the bottom of the picture, then that works in our favour as well. You have got to, I think the biggest responsibility is getting the picture across that they see in their head versus what you see in your head. So the questions that you would tend to ask is, whereabouts would you see this sitting on your face? Or would you, how often do you blow dry your hair? What kind of products do you use? Because all of those kind of acknowledgements are what's going to help them at home when they come to styling and drying and actually learning to live with the haircut that they have.
So you want to give them a haircut that doesn't just last for today,
yeah,
but lasts them until their
definitely.
Next appointment.
Especially I think now as well, where clients can't necessarily come so often, you want to make sure that that haircut doesn't look just good for 4 weeks, but you want them, even if they can't come for a year, you still want that haircut to look nice.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a really high rebooking. So at what point do you start talking about rebooking to the client?
Because I ask a lot of personal questions, like where they're going on holiday or what they're doing in the next 8 weeks when I see them. Usually clients will express that they might be going for a wedding or they might be going away on holiday day an XYZ amount of time. So what I quite often do is actually book that appointment. Say their holiday is in about 6 months time. Typically, I will book that appointment so that they know that they're in, and then I will work back down again. So that might be several appointments, or that might just be one appointment. So at least I know that they are in. I'm not annoyed at the fact that sometimes they can't rebook.
Yeah.
And I think that's quite important as well. Sometimes it just comes off in conversation where people are trying to up their rebooking rate and almost seemed annoyed at the fact that the client has gone away and they haven't rebooked. Whereas for me, if it works, it works. And typically what I also do is if a client says, well, I need it done around XYZ time, which might be 3 months from this point, I will also hint that sometimes I do get quite booked up. And actually, if there is a date or time in mind, would you like me to offer the fact that you can see that appointment now rather than go home and try and work it out for yourself? Because as soon as that client leaves the salons, they've got other stuff on. The last thing that they're probably going to think at night is, oh, I didn't rebook in the salon. And again, life gets on top of some people. So just by saying, well, if you wanted it on the 19th of July, 2026, let me have a look at that date for the time being. And then I can at least offer some of those times. Just get the client involved a little bit more rather than letting them just walk out.
So it's the importance is to offer it.
Yeah.
And then say if they are going on holiday in 6 months, so you book that 6 month appointment, but then you work the two or three appointments in between.
Yeah. And I think it's quite nice doing it that way as well, because clients, for me, always tend to like to have their appointments booked in, just because, again, most of the time life gets on top of people. So it's nice that they know that that's one less thing that they have to then deal with when they're going home. It's so much easier.
We're only 6 months away for Christmas.
Yeah.
Have you started booking in Christmas appointments?
I think for a few days I'm already pretty much booked up.
Oh, wow.
But it just kind of sometimes, some years, for whatever reason, they just work out really well. So for example, if a client typically comes every 6 weeks, then some years it just works really, really well. Yeah. So it's actually easier just to get it all in. Whereas some years it works out a little bit harder, where a client does have to go away. I've even had one client bring out their wall calendar.
Oh, wow.
Which was for our whole family just to try and get ourselves organized.
That's brilliant.
Some years it just works out good, and some years it doesn't so much. No. And that's okay.
So it's like if it was every 6 weeks, they might have to go a 5 week and a 7 week.
Yeah, 100%. Thing. But equally, like, I don't just want to do a 5 and a 6 weeks for the sake of doing a 5 and 6 weeks. So if they even have somewhere to go out for dinner on the 5th week, I would rather do it at like 5:15, so then they feel like they're getting prepared for something rather than just coming for a maintenance haircut.
If the client's then having colour, what's the difference between a colour consultation and a cut and design consultation?
So colour, for me, I find is a lot more in depth. I think this is just because I like to know exactly what I'm doing. And again, it brings me back to one of my last points where I'm extremely visual. So even sometimes, sounds weird, but even when a client walks into the salon, I'll know exactly what I'm doing and I'll just kind of tweak it depending on what the client says and what the client asks and answers with. It's really important to have your colour consultation figured out. And some of the questions might be as simple as asking what kind of colors have they had prior to your appointment, which would imply that they either really like XYZ color or they actually really don't like XYZ color. Especially this time of year, you have a lot more new clients for color. And I find that the colors that they've had in the past is something that they actually really didn't like. So it's quite important in the way of, say, for example, a new client comes in for a balayage that haven't had their hair done for years and years and years. Obviously, again, years and years and years ago, balayages were first a thing. Whereas now they're a lot more technical. The designers are a hell of a lot more experienced on it. So even the connotations of the tone that they're after, or the fact that years ago balayages mostly ended up quite stripy, whereas now it's a lot more technical. So you can kind of put faith in the clients because you know exactly what you're doing now. And again, it comes with confidence as well.
Is there any particular reason why there's more new clients having colour now?
It's hard. Like, lots of times it's mainly for summer. So quite a lot of clients I find do actually let their natural grow out quite a lot. And then for summer, if they're going away, if they're ending up doing anything, it is quite nice. Also, I think, again, from a rebooking perspective, what I do quite like to add add is the fact that things like foils are quite seasonal. So for example, in the summer, if we focus on getting clients lighter, then as soon as it drops down to almost October, September, Christmas kind of time, we can actually add some darkness going through. And they quite like the idea of that. And also the maintenance wise, it's not as bad, especially when we're adding some different colours going through it rather than it growing out and just looking like a blot.
Yeah. So if you've got a client that's just in for a cut and design, at what point do you start offering additional services?
So I, quite a lot of the time, and I have always done this, so you've had this big old long chat, you know exactly what they're doing, you know where they work, you know what their kids' names are. Quite a lot of the time, as soon as I go to get the products and turn my hairdryer on, I will then start to ask about additional service. I find this is because we've really got to know each other, maybe perhaps the first 30 minutes of your cut and design. And then in the last, let's say 15, you're really starting to kind of hone in on getting rebooked, getting any additional service out of them, just to really, really help that client moving forward.
And so what kind of things would you discuss with the client?
So if it is a brand new client, I would often compliment their hair. Sometimes you'd be surprised. So many people say, oh, well, it's box dye, didn't you know? And I'm like, No way. And quite a lot of the time they do actually open up, whether or not that's because I've really spoken to them in a personal manner in the first 30 minutes. But I do often find that they start to be a little bit more honest, let's say, about colour, or actually, do you know what? I took a whim on a cut, but actually I really like this place. And do you know what? I might want to come back for additional services such as colour, which again is quite nice because as quite a busy designer, you can then kind of say that to them during the consultation. Well, if you are kind of thinking about it, how about we do a skin test today? And then they're already thinking about their next appointment rather than just letting them walk out the door. They spoke about colour, but they didn't really think about it that much. It's just nicer, I think, from a personal perspective.
So is it you kind of introduce it in the consultation, like the additional services for colour?
Yeah.
And then once you've done the haircut, when you get the hairdryer, use the hairdryer as the indicator to talk about colour again.
Yeah, definitely. I feel also if it doesn't kind of, if you're not asking anything when you're using the hairdryer, it's just a little bit quiet and I quite like to talk and it is a little bit awkward sometimes. So I'm like, right, what else can I ask? What haven't I asked about? Is there any other things that she's doing this year? Does she come for colour? Well, I can see that there's colour on her hair. So let's ask. And all of those things are going round and round in your head. Quite often I do like to feel in my head, I explain it like a flow diagram. So you've kind of ticked off all of the above and then you've got arrows pointing downwards, which would then suggest additional services such as treatments, shampoos, oils, products, colour, anything which you then can start to mention. Sometimes a client might just say, do you know what? I don't really like colour on my hair. Yeah. I've had it once. I didn't enjoy it. Whatever. Which again, you can cross that one out because you've asked, but then you could move on to, oh, okay, that's cool. Well, do you miss the shine of what a colour used to offer? And there are so many products and services out there that could offer the smallest situation so much help, especially for when a client then goes to do their own hair at home.
So you talk about glossing treatments and stuff. So anything. Even if they don't have a colour.
So we've got glossing services in the salon. We've got products that could help with all of the above. We've got even things like colour masks. They might not like to sit in the salon for hours and hours and hours, but things like a colour mask, which has pigment in it, can help to add a little bit of a sheen into their natural hair and also help as a hair mask as well. So there is lots of different avenues that we can go down.
So you touched on it briefly. So tell me about treatments. At what point with the consultation, or if you're with a client, what point do you think, oh, actually this client really needs a treatment from the feedback they've given you?
So I usually kind of bring it up during our first, I would say, about 5 to 10 questions.
Yeah.
Sometimes a client is really honest and they say, do you know what? My hair is not in the greatest condition. And actually, I really do want to perhaps grow it. At which point you can kind of say, well, how about a treatment? And we could kind of tailor it. What I do quite like to say as well, because there is a lot of different treatments. And sometimes it's a little bit of a shot in the dark because of how many treatments there are available in our salon. So quite a lot of the time, I will start off with the one of the most basic treatments, and this is just being open and honest to your client. You're not fobbing them off for loads of money when it actually might not help them at all. So I will tend to start off with one of the most basic forms of treatments. I will quite like to say during, let's say, when we rebook them, if that treatment hasn't helped that time, I can move on to the next one and the next one and the next one. So sometimes it might start off at a £10 treatment and now you're doing things like glossing services, which you could charge £45. But I think if you aren't honest at the first point, then they're never going to trust your opinion.
Yeah. What happens if you've got a client and obviously you're asking them questions, but what happens if somebody's a bit, not standoffish, but guarded? How do you get there when somebody's a bit guarded?
It can happen via a lot of things. I've had quite a few clients where, again, you kind of fake it till you make it. So you'll carry on asking, and there will be a point where they do actually open up to you. And sometimes when they do open up to you, it can just be a thing of, do you know what? I don't really enjoy coming to get my hair done. And that is an important thing. And I think at that point, something will click and I will say, right, that's it. She will enjoy having her hair done today. And we'll just make it, even if they hate talking about hair, that's fine. You tell me what you want and I will do it. And we'll talk about your kids, about when you got married. We'll talk about everything but the point of hair. They might say, do you know what? I've been to a hairstylist for years. She does what I want, but she has no idea about different services, or she has no idea about what products. I hate my hair, whatever. There's so many different options as to why a client might be a little bit more guarded. My personal thing is just trying to find out a little something about that client that makes them happy.
Yeah.
For example,
about with their hair.
Yeah, anything. I've got a client now that I do, and she's in her 80s, and she's never really liked her hair. And I think for quite a long time, she just did whatever's easiest, whether or not she's, you know, had trouble in her life before, which meant that she couldn't always go to a hairdresser. So she'd never been back to the same salon twice.
Oh.
Just because she never liked it in the first place. And I have actually done that client 7 times now.
Oh, wow.
So she is officially a client of mine. And sometimes it's got nothing to do with the hair. In a way, it's how they feel about their hair rather than what layer would you like in your hair. Sometimes I think some designers from different salons might be so focused on the actual haircut that they forget that that person is human. So for example, again, like I said, do you want color? Would that make you feel better about your hair?
Yeah.
Rather than just asking what face frame, how long do you want your fringe, how all of those kind of basic questions, you've just got to really tailor it to the client.
So you're taking interest in the person,
yeah,
not just the head of hair. So how do you manage expectations though? Say somebody's got a black box dye and they want to go blonde in one sitting in 3 hours. How do you manage those expectations?
That's a hard one. I think lots of clients are different in that response. Some clients, especially now, they know that that's not possible, but they just want advice. Some clients, they want it and they want it as soon as possible, which is absolutely fine. But sometimes you just have to let them down. We have got a consultation planner, which does actually help us with this. So for example, you could take a strand test from that client. You could pop it up. You can staple it to the page in the top hand corner. You can work out cost. You can work out lots of different things. There's quite a lot of different types of clientele when it comes to questions like that. Some people will then be shocked at the price. Some people don't want to sit in the salon for hours and hours and hours. And again, I think clients of that nature, they actually want to ask like knowledgeable questions, but they might never have been told those kind of things before. I had a client a few years ago that wanted to go from red to platinum blonde. In one of our first questions, I said, well, you know, red is part of the warm family. You actually want to go super ash, and her skin tone actually didn't allow us to be really super ash. So for example, getting her from blonde to a platinum, it would have been possible, but it wouldn't have complemented her. So actually we ended up doing more of a caramel kind of balayage, which helped her natural color not show so much, and also that's what suited her. So she was happy with that, and obviously it didn't take about a year to get from red to platinum. It only actually took, I think, about 2 or 3 appointments.
Yeah.
And now again, she's a really regular client where we lighten it for the summer and we darken it for the winter. So I'm most importantly, whenever I get a client like that, is like you said, it's try to manage their expectations. Most important, I always tell clients to enjoy the ride, because there are so many options that are available. For example, years and years and years ago, when people used to color their hair with really dark black box dye, their first appointment is probably going to be copper or a red of some description. But there are thousands of coppers. There are thousands of red. It's not going to end up how you think it's going to end up, because we are a professional salon. We know what we're talking about. And there are so many different paths that you can go down. So I think enjoy the ride. A client might end up with copper that she thought she was going to hate, and actually that's how she's been for the last 5 years. Yeah. She likes it. And I think it's one of those things, you don't know what suits you 100% until it gets put on your hair. So it is nice for clients to actually experience that as well.
So say like if it was a new designer on the shop floor, they might feel a bit overwhelmed with the questions. So you touched on it before. We've got our flow chart planner, which breaks down at each stage for the client. But what would you say to the new designer that's on the shop floor that's getting a bit, oh my God, I need to ask all these questions. How would you help them overcome their nerves?
Through the top part of the diagram in my brain, there is 3 different subcategories. So it's the ask, the analyze, and agree. So broken down into all of these subcategories is where you ask thousands of different questions if you need to. Analyze is where you figure out exactly what you're doing with that client. And then your agree is the last heading where a client, you will just basically repeat back to the client all of the information that you found out about their hair. So it's a very, very, very simplified version of everything to do with a consultation. 9 times out of 10, sometimes I would sit in a consultation prior to this, and the consultation would just, a better way to describe it is just very scatty. They'll go back to XYZ, then they'll refer back to this point, then they'll ask a completely new question. And at the end of the consultation, they still have no idea what they're doing. So by just breaking it down into 3 big categories, they've got all of the information. And even if they still haven't gathered the information, they need to ask a different question before they can move on to their next category. Even if that consultation lasts you 45 minutes, that new designer will go in and she will know exactly what she's doing, which will bring her confidence and the client confidence that you both know the picture or the image, it's shared amongst both heads.
Have you ever had a really bad consultation or one that just was going south? How did you fix it, or did you fix it? What happened?
It's a really hard one. I've definitely had some consultations where there is no knowledge whatsoever that the client has actually given you. Sometimes people just want a absolute brand new look. They have no idea what they want it to look like. They have no pictures. They don't really like their hair. So you've just got to go, it is a shot in the dark. Sometimes there is certain things where you think, I know that this is possible, and whether or not it is possible in their hair is 2 completely different things. So again, you've just got to pray to the hair gods sometimes. Most important, especially when it is, say, a cut or a colour, there will be a series of questions that you ask, and whether or not you're getting the right information. Sometimes I do genuinely just say, right, let's stop. Let's think about it. I'm going to go and get a glass of water. You have a drink, and we're going to restart this whole consultation from scratch. Because sometimes you might have even made the client think about their hair too much, to the point where they're really starting to pick out all of those impurities that they really actually can't stand. So sometimes it's okay to start a consultation from scratch. It's one of those things that, again, you need to know exactly what you're doing, and you want the client to feel super confident in you. So sometimes just doing that, it is actually helping you both in that scenario. A consultation is very overwhelming, especially if you are doing it with a brand new client. There is so much to talk about. It is sometimes overwhelming. So just start again.
Do you find that the clients ask you questions?
Yeah, definitely.
What are the kind of like the main questions that you get from clients?
The main questions, how long have you been a hairdresser?
Okay. And what do you say to that?
I'm just honest. Yeah. I will always say, well, I've worked for Hair Up for 11 years. I've been a designer for almost 5. I think it's really nice that a client does actually want to know about things like that. Again, it kind of just brings back confidence to them a little bit. If you say that you've only been on the shop floor for 2 months, it's a bit awkward. Yeah. However, they might also really enjoy that, because that means you're a brand new, fresh designer that knows exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. And what other questions are they asking?
They do quite like to ask, what's your favourite thing to carry out? Whether that be colour, whether that be haircuts, treatments, different things. My answer is always colour. I think quite a lot of my percentage is colour clients.
Yeah.
And it's nice, again, for if they are, say, a cut client that do actually want to do colour in the future, you know that that's your passion. They'll be more inclined to book in with someone that says, do you know what, I really, really love colour. Yeah. Whereas if you've got a designer that says, do you know what, I don't really like colour, but I actually really love haircuts, it depends on what you're looking for.
Mm. So you were saying that you're still kind of like asking questions during the service. At the end of the appointment, what would you have liked to have achieved with that client and their consultation?
I would have definitely liked to achieve confidence. Yeah. I would definitely like to have achieved some kind of relationship through trust, or even like rebooking. It's nice to know that your client does actually value what you've just done. Things like, even like reviews. sometimes a client walks in and you've done the bestest thing ever and you're kind of waiting for that review.
Yeah.
Thinking, this is going to be incredible.
So by way of explanation,
yeah,
we've 100%. Got Salon Spy.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Salon Spy reviews. Yeah.
And it is incredible because you know that you have just done the best that you can ever possibly do.
Yeah.
A client might not have come for a haircut since COVID and they look amazing when they yeah. walk out the door. So you just kind of want the best thing for them.
And then do they leave a review? Have you ever had it?
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time. And it is nice to see. And especially for even like sometimes when we're looking through Salon Spy, it's really incredible because you could see, for example, we've got a newer designer that's just started on the shop floor. She might not have looked one day and there'll be an incredible review for her. So it's nice to say, do you know what? There's a review for you. Have you checked it?
Yeah.
And even just knowing that they feel so much more confident in themselves after reading a review, it is really nice to see.
Yeah. What's the difference between a consultation with a new client to a consultation with a regular client, say somebody that's been in with you for maybe 3 or 4 times?
I quite like the challenge of always getting a regular client to change their hair.
Oh, okay.
I kind of challenge myself to that every time. Whether or not that be something really simple as to actually what shampoo you're using at the moment, maybe let's go for something different because the hair's feeling a little bit dry. But a consultation, there is a few questions just by saying again for like skin and scalp, their scalp might be completely different. So I quite like to make a note on the computer just to say, do you know what? XYZ has got a little bit of a sensitive scalp, and just to make them feel more comfortable as they rebook. You don't want to keep asking those awkward questions like, oh, how's your flaky scalp today? So you just know that a client, it's a bit of an awkward question. So I just kind of like to add a little bit of a note onto the computer, or even if I'm getting one of the other girls to shampoo that client, I will just kind of bring it up in a way that, let's say Rebecca has a little bit of a sensitive scalp. And it's nice because the client then trusts you because you have got all of that knowledge about the past time or the previous time or whatever. So it is kind of nice, and they do again feel a little bit more confident in you.
So it's that you've remembered them.
Yeah, definitely.
So say like you're going into work and you've got your day ahead. How do you make sure that you've checked your notes and everything like that?
So quite a lot of the time, I do quite like to get to the salon early. I quite like to have a cup of tea. I do genuinely go through all of my notes of that day, even as simple as just checking to see whether I need to make the colour, or it's things that are really, really, really simple. It's nice to prepare for the clients when they come in. Even, for example, I know on a Wednesday morning, sometimes I've got a client that loves a cappuccino. So I will make it for her prior to her coming in.
Oh, fantastic.
So it is quite nice. And again, it's a client that then goes, oh, do you know what? Thanks. I really needed that. Or actually, how did you remember? And you've built up that relationship, say over a good few years, and you think of them more like a friend rather than a client. It is quite nice to just kind of look at your day, plan it, and kind of like evaluate that day. And, you say, do you know what? If I'm done this client before lunchtime, then that's really lovely. Or if actually I might run into my client, so let's just maybe think about ringing that client later on to come in earlier later. You've just got to kind of assess every day as it comes. I also do like to think sometimes, especially when you're having a really busy day, is not to plan it too much. It is what it is. Sometimes there will be, especially sometimes on a Saturdays are shorter days, but they are crazy. So sometimes that means that I will genuinely only look every 2 hours just to get you through. So that you are focused on that client and that client only. Maybe the client's developing with a colour and you've got another client in, but only focus on those two clients. What happens later on, happens later on. There is no point in you stressing about what that may be.
So you go in early, you have your cup of tea, you look at your column and you think about the colours that you need, etc. But what you don't do is you don't overthink it.
No, don't overthink
it. So you're not thinking that the 345 client's got
loads
tons of thick hair.
And I think it's so important that, because you're already gonna be not enjoying that appointment when it comes to it. So you've just got to stop yourself from overthinking it. And even it could be as simple as, going in and saying, well, do you know what? That treatment is not booked out on the computer. I know that that client always has a treatment.
Yeah.
So you could change it before the receptionist comes over and takes the bill, because then she's been charged without a treatment. So you've just got to prepare as much as possible. You might have had a cancellation the day before. You haven't had time to check your appointments, and then she's been booked in for something completely wrong at 5:15. If you're kind of so focused on just looking for the first few clients, you might not have even clocked the fact that she might have not have had a skin test.
Yeah.
There's so many different variations of why you should look through your day.
Yeah.
But again, not overthink your day.
If there has been a situation where somebody's been booked in, not enough time, etc., does it get sorted, or has there ever been when it's been a complete, oh my God?
Most of the time it does get sorted. For example, I will try my absolute hardest not to ring a client.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you ring a client, you have put panic on them. If you notice that so-and-so's got crazy amounts of hair and she actually might need 2 or 3 appointments to do her colour and her cut, I don't want to panic them. If I can try and make it work, then I will make it work. Sometimes just by asking one of our apprentices that could potentially help us blow dry or even mix up a colour while you're still working with your other client. There's so much stuff that happens in a background that I wouldn't like them to know about. Things like when you're in your own head and you're overthinking everything, I don't want it to come across like that.
No, of course.
Because a client will start to then panic.
Yeah.
So if I can avoid ringing a client, sometimes you just can't help it. So sometimes there might be, for whatever reason, a client's taking you longer than expected. I might actually have to ring a client and rebook. However, I think they would prefer you to be completely honest,
yeah,
rather than them coming in, they pay a price for your service and they probably haven't got the best service because you're panicked, you're overwhelmed, there's several different people in all at the same time. So I genuinely think there's different ways to execute, being not enough time or there's other things that have come up. Each way hopefully will help out that client as well.
So like, you've had a really bad morning. How do you kind of like manage that before you talk to your first client? Or even throughout the day, how do you make sure that you're giving the consistent service to a client every time?
Every time.
Even if it has been a nightmare.
So it goes back to, I think, when I was doing my training, it was very important that as soon as you walk through those staff room doors, you can be yourself. You can say to the girls, do you know what, girls? I'm really having a tough day today. I'm really not feeling it. Some days you just don't want to be a hairdresser. But as soon as you start speaking to your clients, whether that be regular, new clients, you're in a whole different world. The way that I describe it is, your clients now, if they are regulars, especially if you have been looking after them for a series of years, months, whatever, they are friends. So sometimes you can say, do you know what, Jane, I'm having a bit of a rough day, so can we just talk about hair?
Yeah.
And it's quite nice that Jane will say, do you know what, yeah, of course you can, like, is everything all right? And that's, yeah, as simple as it is. I think it's also really hard to not tell your clients too much.
Yeah.
Because then there's a very different line that is kind of switched, that you don't want them to be so close to you that you can't assert the control back, that, you know, you are a professional. We're not all friends. We're friends in the way that you rebook with me and we've got trust and we have got a formal relationship. But it's really hard to assert that kind of control back when you have been a little bit more open and honest.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing is the fact that as soon as you walk out of that staff room and into the salon, then that is a performance. It's a stage. It's, you know, it's everything that you kind of want it to be. You can be a different person that day. It's kind of allowing yourself to be different, but also still being your same self. Yeah. It's really hard to explain.
Yeah, no, I do get what you mean.
And sometimes things just happen. Things, yeah, just happen in the way that you like, do you know what? It's a really off day. Everyone's allowed an off day.
Yeah.
But as long as that's not affecting your hairdressing skills, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've even said to a client, do you know what? Is it okay if we're just quiet today?
Yeah.
And I've said that.
Yeah.
And that means that a client will say, do you know what? She clearly might have needed to be quiet today.
Yeah.
It means that you're being yourself. If I would have talked that whole time and my mind was elsewhere, I might not have carried out really good service.
No.
So you've just got to kind of talk to your clients in a way that, you know, you are friends with each other, but you also are a professional. So,
and they're paying you,
yeah,
for a service.
And they're paying you for a service.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, the service doesn't necessarily require you to speak to each other. So it's one of those things that sometimes you just want to talk about something completely different, or I know exactly what I'm doing with your haircut, but how's your kids?
Yeah.
How's work? There's so many different avenues to go down that it will take your mind off it.
So it really comes back to what you were saying initially about being honest.
Yeah, definitely. I think honesty is the best policy for so many different situations.
Yeah.
Especially for hair. There's been so many different like experiences where I've seen, even when I've gone to let's say like Weller, for example, and a woman gets up on stage and she starts chatting about this product that they're launching, and it's so painful sometimes that they're just explaining it like out of their own head. But then when you're in groups of just you and her, oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing. They talk on personal experiences. They go, do you know what? I really love this product because of X, Y, Z. Whereas sometimes if you're just reeling information off, that's not who you are.
Yeah.
No one's like that.
Yeah.
Not as a hairdresser. That's, we're born to chat. So just chat, but chat normally, yeah, as you normally would.
So what do you do, say, if like somebody wants something, but it's really not achievable? How do you kind of convey that message? Just say if somebody wants to go short but keep the length, yeah, but you know, it's just those impossible situations.
It's definitely like, I had years and years and years ago, a client bought in a picture, and the picture was in black and white, and she wanted the same haircut and she wanted the same hair color as the picture.
Oh, wow.
And I asked probably about 1,000 questions,
yeah,
to say, well, do you know, is it the way that it was curled in the picture that you really like the picture? She said, no. She said, I don't like the way it was curled. I said, oh, right, okay, well, can you tell me what colour it was? She said, yeah, it was blonde and brown. I said, well, did you like blonde and brown? She said, no, I don't think I did. And it was in the end, we were there consulting for about 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And she actually just liked the picture.
Oh.
She didn't even like her hair in the picture.
Oh, no.
And it was things like that you think, oh, my whole life has been a lie. I've just been answering all these questions about this certain person. And it sometimes it's just the fact that, again, like you said, they want something completely different and they haven't made their mind up. So it's really important to say, do you know what, if they're not 100% sure, we'll cut it today, however you would like, but to go away, research. So say, for example, if someone's wanting to commit to going short, but actually they're really scared about going short.
Yeah, completely.
So maybe you have a regular haircut, which you take an inch off every 8 weeks. Maybe let's take 3 inches.
Yeah.
So it feels different. Most importantly, enjoy the ride. She might end up with 3 inches shorter and she goes, actually, yeah, I'll prefer this a hell of a lot more than what I would do probably going shorter.
Yeah.
But again, short is still there for, you know, future reference.
Yeah.
Sometimes just whacking hair off for the sake of whacking hair off when they think that's what they want might be completely different to actually what they want.
Because then you have an unhappy client.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Otto often says about this thing where you can have the right haircut but on the wrong client. And I think it's the wrong haircut on the right client as well. Beautiful haircut, but it just wasn't right for that person.
Yeah. And I think it goes down to, like, a few years ago we had Holly Willoughby that used to have her short bob that used to have a little wave in it. I got asked daily for the Holly Willoughby hair. You've just got to connotate it to that client. I think what I love so much about making that haircut for that person personal is they know that no one else in the whole of the world is walking around with their same haircut. For example, where everyone wanted the Holly Willoughby haircut, it was beautiful, but it wouldn't suit every single person.
No, of course.
So just by saying, do you know what, let's add a little bit of a layer in. Let's actually, do you know what, you're probably going to wear it straight most of the time. Let's style it straight, see how it looks. Oh, okay, that's cool. We don't like it 100%. Let's chuck a fringe in. Let's do something different. And even though it was based around that same haircut, every single client looks different because of how much hair they've got on their head, because of how they style it, because of how they wear it. There's so many different factors.
I think in the mid 90s it was the Rachel haircut.
Yeah, yeah,
like everybody wanted Rachel
100%.
Haircut.
And it's still going to a certain extent.
I think, so what you're saying about personalising the haircut, so during the consultation you would do the face shape.
Yeah.
Do you think clients understand the difference that face shape, or do you think other hairdressers understand the difference that a face shape makes to a haircut?
I think it's really hard. I think sometimes, I would say preference-wise, there has been clients that have come in and they say, I thought I would like XYZ and I actually don't.
Yeah.
Which implies to me that whoever did the haircut, whether it be halfway across the world, it implies that they never went through face shape. A client where you look at yourself every single day, you wouldn't necessarily pick up that you have a different face shape, or actually your chin might be smaller than someone else's. There are so many different factors that come into face shape, and it's extremely important for haircuts specifically.
Yeah, because one haircut and someone could look totally different from somebody else.
Yeah, 100%.
Purely because their face shapes are different.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So it's nice, again, just going back to my last point, you know, you could do the same haircut on two different people, but annotate it so both of them look slightly different to complement their face shape more. But equally, those two clients will never ever look like each other. Their haircuts will never look the same because everything about them is different. So it's making, say, things like the Rachel haircut a hell of a lot more personal because of their face shape.
And that's what the consultation does. It personalises the experience.
Yeah. I find that it. If I haven't personalised the experience, I haven't done the best job that I can.
No. For instance, one of the questions that we also ask is if a person's messy or tidy.
Yeah.
So for instance, I'm a messy person. Yeah. So I'm not keen on dead straight hair. So if you were to give me dead straight hair, I would find it really uncomfortable. Yeah. You just think it's something that's so small.
I think that's the thing. Sometimes, like some of the questions you ask, they might sound like the most ridiculous questions ever, but you find out so much about that client.
Yeah.
It is absolutely insane. Even if it's, like you said, asking if someone's messy or tidy, there's so many different haircuts out there that can be more tailored to them rather than, say, a picture that they've bought in themselves.
And then on the flip side as well is how much time they actually want to spend on their hair in the morning.
You know, definitely.
They just want to shampoo it, put products in and go.
And walk out the door. Yeah. That can lead also to a future rebooking. So for example, if you've got a client that she's 100% grey and she has been box dyeing her hair for several years, she likes her hair looking straight, but she don't own a pair of straighteners. There is so many different lines that you can go down, whether or not that be adding in a few lighter foils. So then she doesn't actually have to box dye her hair every week. She can come to the salon and have a really nice professional experience where we're adding in some lightness so she doesn't have to visit the salon every 5 minutes. We'll put a treatment in to soften it because she can't be bothered to straighten her hair.
Yeah.
There's so many different variations.
Let's talk about products. I mean, there's been a big kind of shift in the way in which people purchase products with the internet, etc., and supermarkets having loads of named hairdresser brands on their supermarket shelves. So how do you introduce products to clients?
I introduce not as much as I can, but there's so much out there that I think sometimes products can be quite oversaturated. I find like we've probably got, let's say, 100 products in the salon.
Yeah.
And do you know what? There might only be one person that's tailored to, but actually that client can worship that product.
Yeah.
You know, that's all they've ever needed. So it's very important to introduce product, but it's very important more so to not overwhelm the client.
Yeah.
Because they might have thousands of products that they're keeping under a shelf in every single cubbyhole at home. So it's kind of important to really kind of hone in on, you know, what they want. She might not want to be able to straighten her hair. She can't be bothered. So even by adding in a slight product that can help to soften the hair, which means that she doesn't actually have to do anything in the morning.
Yeah.
It's so oversaturated, but there are so many things that can help to benefit. So it is a difficult one, but they are there and they are there for the right reasons, and your clients will love you for being knowledgeable about those.
So say if the client is using a product at home that's, you know, known to strip colour, how would you, and they're a colour client, how would you kind of like encourage them to look more down the professional route?
It's really hard because you don't want to go in with all guns blazing and say, you know, that product's rubbish, you've got to change it now, whatever. You've got to build up the confidence first. You've got to build up the confidence in that client's head that, you know, they think, do you know what, she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to follow her advice. On the flip side, there might have been an example before, which I have used this in the salon, where I had a client and I believe she wanted to be pink or a fashion colour of some description. And her colour bill, so she was going from natural to like bright pink all over.
Oh, okay.
And her colour bill was quite expensive. And when I got over to the part where we were talking about products and shampoos and things like that, she did state that she was using things like Tresemme and Pantene, I believe.
Yeah.
And I just said it in the way that I wouldn't be comfortable to carry out the service if I knew that you were using not nice shampoos that can potentially harm the colour, especially with things like something as fashionable as a fashion colour, like pinks and purples.
Yeah.
You want that to last for as long as possible. They are expensive. There's so many things that you can have to prolong the colour. And actually, sometimes I'd almost include in that colour, that whole service bill. This is colour saving shampoo. This is what it's going to help you with. And it will help to last a hell of a lot longer rather than saying, yeah, you do you. Whatever you use at home is whatever you use at home.
Yeah.
It's not my problem. That it works hand in hand.
Yeah, completely.
For a lot of people. So I think definitely going back to building confidence, building knowledge, knowing that you are a professional and they've come to see you for advice. You've got to explain as much as you can, but also not make that client feel overwhelmed.
If there was one product which all your clients would walk away with, what would it be?
Trillion.
Really?
Definitely.
So what is Trillion?
So Trillion, I've always labelled it as a hero product. So it works for every single person. Quite a lot of the time, I would find, I don't know, I was going to say quite a lot of the time that it's really hard to explain the amount of people that it is good for. So it's tri, meaning three. So there are three different products that is in the same spray. So it's a heat protection, a detangler, and also a shine spray. And some of the times, clients like little young girls,
yeah,
because their hair is super tangly, their mum can't be bothered to sit there for hours and hours on end. So it helps for them. It
yeah.
also helps with men that might say, do you know what? I have got the world's most annoying hair. I dry it every morning. And they might be causing damage on the hair, even though the hair is 2 inches short.
Yeah.
So just by adding in like a heat protection and things, it is so easy. It yeah. is such an easy product to use. I think it's very important as well. Like now there is quite a lot of products out there that seem to do so many things, but yet nothing at all. I've noticed, I would say, probably in the last 2 years, clients say to me, oh yeah, yeah, I'm using products. And I go, oh, okay, cool. Like, what kind of products are you using? They say, oh, I'm just using this one spray. It's 30-in-1. And it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. So it's things like that that you think, okay, yeah. that's fine. And it's something as simple as, okay, that's cool. What kind of consistency is a product? And they said, well, you know, it's a water-based product. And I think, yeah. right, okay, so water, it's been watered down a hell of a lot. So yeah. even though it's 30 products in one, it might be the world's worst thing that they're putting on the hair, because there's actually no ingredients no. in that that will benefit you.
Because it's not strong enough.
Yeah, because it's not strong enough. Or the fact that it might be 30-in-1 and that's great and she's using it very, very, very often
yeah.
to the point where it was $15.99 a bottle and they're actually buying it once a month. And it's ridiculous, I find, how oversaturating, especially in supermarket shelves, there is thousands and thousands of products. So people typically go for the things that are multi-use, so that it might only have one spray, but it can help in various different ways. So again, they go for the 30 option where it's got thousands of the same thing in the same bottle, but then they're rebuying it so regular that actually professional shampoos, professional products are now actually cheaper. But yeah. I think you've got to sit them down. Sometimes you get a client that has never been told that. They expect that professional shampoos, professional products are so more expensive than what they actually are. But for example, based on the shampoo, it's a very concentrated shampoo. So you're not paying for water.
No.
Which again, most of the time, like looking on supermarket shelves, most of the shampoos, the main ingredient is aqua.
Yeah.
So it's already watered down and you're not paying for anything.
No,
apart
completely.
From a watered down version of something that may potentially be good, but yeah. you would never know because you need to use half the bottle to find out.
Yeah, completely. I think that's it as well. Professional products do last so much longer,
yeah,
because
definitely.
You need so much less of
yeah.
them.
I think as a personal perspective, it's like I've used the same shampoo that we stock in the Chalon for the last around 7 or 8 years.
Oh, wow. Which one do you use?
I use Nutrien Rich.
Oh, okay.
I'm a bleach client, so I need moisture, but I don't need too much because yeah. I suffer with greasiness and things like that as well. But it's also super lightweight. I've never needed anything more.
No.
Sometimes there might be a random, you know, if you go on holiday and you feel like you've got a bit of a buildup of chlorine and things like that. I do keep a chlorine shampoo
yeah.
in the bathroom, but again, I'd probably buy that maybe once every 2 years. Whereas my Enrich, even though I'm having a small 350ml bottle, that roughly lasts me about four and a half months.
Yeah.
It is, again, you're actually saving money rather than using more money.
How often would you advise your clients to wash their hair?
That's a really hard question.
Yeah, that is
a really
Sorry.
Hard question. It's fine. Let's say go back, 20, 30 years. Shampoos were more about stripping all of the excess oils. They weren't necessarily colour shampoos available. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of shampoos out there, and they're all due for specific things. I compare old shampoos to more like a fairy washing up liquid. It was used to serve a purpose of getting rid of greasiness, to get rid of smells,
yeah.
to get rid of things like that, similar to how you would wash yourself. It's designed for that way. Whereas again, now there are so many more things out there that are certainly more niche. For example, I wash my hair every day and I have done that for so many years.
Yeah.
But that's just because I find that I don't have so many bad hair days if I wash my hair every day. So yeah. For example, being a bleach client, if I wash my hair every day, then I'm not overusing straighteners because I'm having a bad hair day.
Yeah.
So I wash it rough dry in the evenings. And yeah, it is a bit fluffy when I wake up, but it's not wild when I wake up. So yeah. If I didn't wash my hair every day, I might actually have to spend 30 minutes straightening it. Whereas yeah. Now, if I wash my hair every night, yes, it is fluffy, but I only spend 5 minutes straightening it.
It really just shows you how good the professional products are if you're washing your hair every day and it's lasting 4 months for shampoo.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, wow. I have always said to clients that everything starts from a good shampoo.
Yeah.
If you've got rubbish shampoos, you're more than likely going to have to use more product to actually help those results of the shampoo. So say, for example, if you've used things like Head and Shoulders, it might strip the colour, it might hurt the hair in the way that your hair is now reproducing more oils because you've stripped all of the ones that you actually need. You might have to use something on the ends because it's now dry. Whereas actually, if you used a really nice nourishing shampoo like Nutrien Rich, you might only need one product, which might be a heat protection.
Yeah.
So you've actually, again, saved yourself more money for the future by just using a decent shampoo.
Yeah. And that's it. You don't need loads of products, do you? If you just had like a shampoo, a conditioner, a heat protector and an oil.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. So I think it's very important. It's almost like I've been compared to a pharmacist before, where a client has brought me in a series of situations that she needs solving. And, you know, she thought she'd probably be in there for hours and probably spend close to £1,000 on all of this different product.
Yeah.
But actually, we ended up with, I think it was £30 in total for our shampoo and conditioner. And then two other products, it was less than £80.
Yeah.
So it's nice for a client, again, to feel confidence in you that you haven't ripped them off by saying, yeah, continue whatever shampoo that you're using, but you've actually got to buy £150 worth of product now.
Mm.
It's ridiculous. Like I said, just by judging on the fact that you could have a really good shampoo, it's really got to be tailored in the way that you have got to sit down with them and have a consultation in the way of what is the problems with your hair? What do you like and what don't you like? Some people will say, well, it's just dry.
Yeah.
It's so dry. Actually, you might recommend them only shampooing their hair once a week.
Yeah.
But you might recommend them using a little bit more of a stronger bond building shampoo that will help to soften the dryness. So I think now there is no right or wrong on how often to shampoo your hair. Sometimes things work as a benefit, whereas sometimes things work as a negative to it might be stripping people's hair. Also, again, in my opinion, I think if I didn't shampoo my hair every day, I'm not getting any added moisture because I'm a bleach client.
Yeah.
So it depends. It depends person to person.
So what would you say? Because like traditionally, it's like hairdressers, they don't want to feel like they're selling to the client or, you know, it's not for sales. I always find it quite funny, like somebody would watch a YouTube video or a TikTok about a £40 shampoo, you know, and then purchase it off the TikTok. Yeah, the hairdressers, I don't know, you know, still feel
it's
like
really
they're selling.
Hard.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when I have watched like adverts and things like that, there's a few simple things that they quite commonly do. So they'll add in a fact, they'll show it, they'll show the hair afterwards, and they'll say right down the bottom, you know, 8 out of 10 people said that it was great.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fine. And I think, again, during like consultations, it's quite important to probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, well, I use XYZ, have a feel of my hair. The amount of clients that touch my hair on a daily basis is insane, which is probably why I wash my hair every day as well.
Yeah.
Be personal about it. You know, say, well, what are you using now? Why is that not working? Like, there's so many different things that, you know, you could do. Add an interesting fact in there. So it actually, you sound like you know what you're talking about, rather than just go, oh, here's a shampoo, it's great, end of story. You want to be a walking advert. It is most important to use all of the things that we're doing. For example, it brings you back to having a good shampoo means that I now only get to use maybe a maximum of 6 products a year.
Yeah.
So it's actually conveying to the client, you know, this is actually how I do it. Like, this isn't, you know, it's not a false reality. I haven't woken up in thousands and thousands of product every morning.
Yeah.
It's just saying, well, this is what I use on a regular basis and this is how it looks like. Do you want to feel it? It is really different. But I think we have got to be walking advertisement at the same time, like, learn what you're talking about. Yeah. Learn it, read it. So yeah, of course, just be more personal with it. Mm. Just be more personal. That's what I would say.
Okay, so we were talking about retail.
Yeah.
But we also have a retail plan. So talk me through what your retail plan is.
I never necessarily came up with the retail plan.
I think you did.
But well, in my head, a retail plan, in my opinion, stops you and your client from being overwhelmed. So both parties are a lot more comfortable about talking about retail, about potentially buying retail, and actually for future preference, it kind of builds you up in a way that you know what your next appointment is going to involve. So for example, your first subheadings are ask, analyze, and agree. It's one of those things where you could do a completely separate consultation about retail, which typically I do while I'm almost cutting, drying, styling, like while you're involved in the service. By asking all of those consultation questions at first, when you're doing your initial, the client almost starts to agree with you in the way that you do know what you're doing. You are confident about XYZ. Asking about retail, I think, is a very, very important question. And it's not only for the benefit of, you know, you might earn a little bit more commission. It's more for the benefit of that client's going to keep coming back to you because you've been honest. You've built up the trust where you know exactly what they need now and so on and so forth. So a retail plan for me consists of finding out what the client is using, finding out what the client doesn't like, finding out what the client does like, enable it in the way that it's okay to like whatever you like. That's absolutely fine. But there might be some things that would help you out so much more, as opposed to, you know, I'm using this for the sake of using it. It was really expensive. I'm just trying to use it up. It does nothing. So
that being the client.
Yeah, that being the client. Yeah. But I quite often say, well, what haven't you got? Sometimes it's like, I always use the example of a client years ago, and she still comes to me now. And every time, actually, she always gets something new, or actually, you know, I've run out of that and I flipping love that. So let's repurchase. She has extremely curly hair. She is a bleach client. She's quite good with home care, I would say, but home care wise, it's not very professional in the way of she's using oils, she's using heat protections, she's using things like shine spray. However, every one of those products, things like the oils, was $2.99 from B&M. So you know that it's probably not the best use. And, you know, a shine spray, I like the shine spray, but it just makes my hair feel really greasy. So all of those things over time, it will help to enable the fact that that client doesn't necessarily trust retail. Like I said, by introducing more of a retail plan, especially for the client, because if she repurchase a shine spray and a heat protection in salon, you might be looking close to around about £100, which some clients can't afford that on top of colour, on top of haircuts, on top of treatments, all of those things, you know. So it's nice, again, for the client and yourself that you can perhaps focus on just one retail product. Just do one today, and then in 6 weeks' time when she revisits, you can say, well, have you run out of anything? Is there something that you feel like you would benefit more from now? And also, they've used that product that you've recommended for them and they bought the last 6 weeks. So they're starting to use it and they're starting to go, do you know what? I quite like this.
Yeah, see the and results.
They can see the results rather than you piling them all off with XYZ amount of product. Also, I find that if you're switching everything, that client does not know what thing is now working. So by introducing it slowly, it works so many different ways.
Yeah.
And it gets them prepared for the future for, you know, like, I've finally run out of that $2.99 B&M conditioner.
Yeah.
And now they start to repurchase something that, again, is going to last them longer. So they see the money benefit, the fact that they're not repurchasing rubbish conditioner product, whatever. So they start to notice that, you know, professional shampoo products, whatever, is actually more cost effective. Or they're starting to notice that, you know, their hair is starting to heal. But I would say the main thing is to stop you from being overwhelmed. There is so much in a consultation that you need to cover. By adding a whole nother consultation about retail is a lot. I think sometimes, you know, in the salon that we work at, you've got 45 minutes to do a haircut, and a consultation about products might actually, you know, last 13 minutes. So that's valuable time.
That was very specific.
Well, 30 minutes and 70 seconds. There might be time where you kind of haven't got that available. So like I said, if you just focus on one thing, you you might spend 5 minutes explaining about that. And she goes, you know what, I really like what you said, and I will purchase that product and I will start to use it. So then next time she can come in, you spend another 5 minutes about something completely different product wise and she buys that product and she starts to believe you even more. And then all of a sudden in a year's time, she's using absolutely every professional product known to man and her hair's incredible. And it does set you up for the future, because then you know that that client trusts you, she trusts your judgment, and when something changes, she knows that she can come and ask you.
Does it also make it easier when you are doing colouring services and stuff, if the client is already using professional products? Does it give the hair?
Yeah, I do find it's a lot easier. So in professional products, there's things called proteins, and they help to rebuild the structure of hair. They're quite expensive, but, you know, they do what they say on the tin. However, what was happening with shop-bought shampoos was they were replacing proteins with silicone. So silicone would play the same part. It would, obviously it's a hell of a lot more cheaper. And what would happen was the silicones would actually fill the holes in the hair strand. So it would rebuild the structure to a certain degree. When you were applying colour, the colour wouldn't last as long. Because the colour has got to eat through a layer of silicone before it can get onto the hair strand, which is where it needs to sit to be able to deposit. So the client would walk out and their hair would feel absolutely incredible and, you know, whatever. But then after a few washes, it would start to not look so good. You have to allow that client to be honest with you. There is no judgment in the salon. You know, that's fine. You do whatever you want to do. And if that's working well, that's fine. For future preferences, you might just want to start saying, well, do you know what? Your hair is going to behave a hell of a lot better if we start using whatever that may be, or actually if we cut down on that, you know, you're going to have really good results color wise. So I think it is a hell of a lot easier when a client is using professional products. There's a line where they could be using something so professional that should never meet a client. Things like Olaplex. That was never made for a client. And sometimes clients might become obsessed with the fact and how it feels on their hair and things like that. And then they actually cause reverse damage.
So is that when they put too much protein into their hair or too much moisture?
Yeah. Most of the time it is for protein-based retail products. It's very hard. Like, people need the knowledge, which you have a responsibility of letting that client know. If that line has been crossed, you could end up having reverse damage on that client, which it's really hard to get back from.
What is reverse damage?
So reverse damage, as a protein, people typically have holes in the hair. That is 100% normal. So depending if a client has curly hair, for example, they have bigger holes than someone with naturally straight hair.
Is that what makes it curly?
Yeah. If you have less holes, your hair will naturally have more moisture. Whereas if you have more holes, your hair will be slightly more damaged. But that could come as a natural, in which the holes would be slightly bigger rather than smaller. Things like proteins actually works in the way that they fill the holes. And we use that mainly for bleached clients. We can use it to a certain degree for people with natural hair. And similarly, what happens is if clients start to use that, they start to notice results almost instant because they filled the holes. Things like really heavy protein shampoos and products start to fill the hole so much that now the whole hair strand has actually been coated in something that's extremely heavy. And what will start to happen is that hair just breaks. And the worst bit is the fixing. It's not as simple as putting a treatment over the top.
No, of course.
Because you're actually just going to make it worse. So you've got to be very meticulous about how you kind of save yourself from that point. It's like the whole phenomenon in COVID when people started to get hold of professional, really super professional, not watered down, raw ingredients. And sometimes after COVID, I'd noticed that, you know, a few of my clients had come back and they had like an inch long hair in some bits. And it's crazy to think that that is actually something that was meant to be good for the hair that is now broken down the hair strand to the point where it's really bad.
Because it's just being used
just
too much.
Just because it's being used too much.
How did you find out about the client shampoo having silicone in it and that's why the colour was sliding off?
It's quite a while ago. So I think it was when most professional companies started to hone in on, you know, the fact that they wanted more protein-based shampoos and conditioners. And obviously, you know, from a supermarket perspective, I just don't think they would have been able to keep up with the demand. It's like when you walk into Asda and you have a look, because why not, just to see what's, you know, in fashion for hair products now. You know, you'd walk in and they'd all say repairing and they'd all say for rich and you need this and it's for bleach clients, and you'd think, well, how come that's only £3 if it's saying that it will reverse damage? What is in that? So you start to kind of have a look at the actual composition of the ingredients. And some of it is similar, I'm not going to lie, but the bits that you need to be an active ingredient is, like I said, plastic.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've even noticed that they use a completely different word to silicone, because obviously people aren't stupid.
No.
They will look if they need to look. It has lots of different forms.
Yeah.
It has lots of different, you know, so many different plastics out there that they'll pick one that sounds completely different from the rest. So people won't even bat an eyelid. And then over time, you know, I started to notice that colours weren't lasting as well. And again, you just kind of start to see actually that, you know, it has taken a really dramatic effect. It's more than you think it is, I think, sometimes. And again, that's why I say that everything is based on a good shampoo.
Yeah.
Everything.
So it's really the professional products give you the quality of ingredients and the professional advice on how to use it properly. Yeah.
And I think, again, like a few years ago when a client basically called me a pharmacist, you have to sit down with, you know, you've got the responsibility. You're a designer. They're in your seat. You're the professional. There's so many things, you know, you need to relay to that client to make the trust there to, you know, form that relationship. You know, this is what you're using now. That's okay. But this could be so much better. And here's the facts to back it up. The fragrance is from an actual raw ingredient. It's not somewhere that someone's created and it's all a bit rubbish.
The goji berry.
Yeah, like the goji berry and
lime caviar.
Lime caviar.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we can say, do you know what? It hasn't been poisoned by ridiculous ingredients. It's raw. It's a nice shampoo and it does what it says on the tin.
Oh, it's fantastic. So you've done the consultation. You've done the service.
Yeah.
Do you go through anything else before the client leaves the salon?
I do definitely go through like rebooking while you're still sat at the seat, just because I find it easier.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes when it gets to reception, the receptionist doesn't always know what you've been talking about. They might not even offer to rebook, which is okay, because there's a lot that goes on at reception. You might also meet your next client that's coming in. So you might automatically go on to, oh, you're all right, how are you?
Yeah.
And by that point, you forgot. So I think the most important thing is the rebooking. Quite a lot of the time now as well, it is really nice for the receptionist to actually ask if the client needs any products, any shampoos, any retail. Because quite a lot of the time, you're so focused on getting all the facts and stating the obvious about products that you actually say, do you want some? And before it's too late, they've... Yeah. gone out the door. So it's one of, and I'm not going to chase someone down the street. I'm not going to lie. I'm not one of those people. So it is really hard. I think there's so much that goes into a haircut, into a service in the salon. You know, there's such a mental tick list in your head. I think it is easier if you have got a regular in, because you think, oh, damn, I didn't ask her about XYZ, but, you know, she's going to be in 6 weeks' time. So make a mental note of, you know, we were talking about a mousse, for example. Actually, she still doesn't have it. She might go, well, because we were talking about it so much, you know, I actually really do need that.
Yeah.
And she starts to think about it even more during those 6 weeks while she's away. It's like I've had clients that have said, you know what, not right now, but 6 weeks' time, I'm going to repurchase. And after a week, they're already back in. They're already back in saying, have you got that shampoo that I need?
So you can write the notes on the computer as well.
Yeah. I find it easier because your brain's all over the place when you're a hairdresser. There's so many things rattle around in your brain. And sometimes even for regulars, as much as you know them, you might have spoken about something completely different. For example, it's around this time of year where summer starts to get warmer. You know, clients actually change their gym routine and they start to go swimming.
Oh, okay.
And I've noticed that a lot. It's like end of May, start of June.
Yeah.
Practically everyone will go, oh, you know, I'm doing swimming now.
I'm like, wow. With a swimming cap.
But it's things like that that I said, well, you don't have to use a swimming cap because we've got a detoxing chlorine shampoo. So if things like that are readily available for them, they might go, do you know what? I haven't used that before. And I think that's going to benefit because not everyone likes wearing a swimming cap.
No.
So it is nice for them to know that there is niche products that are out there that, you know, again, if a client says, well, I've never used product, well, I will get them to use product.
And
it can be as niche as possible or as common as possible.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
We were talking about just off the mic a minute ago about how you're not necessarily the right hairdresser for everybody. So you could do a fantastic consultation, but sometimes people might not just relate to you.
Yeah, I think that's completely correct. I think in hairdressing for 11 years now, I've seen it with my own eyes. I've I've had it happen to myself. And I think it's really, really hard when you are building a clientele to surround yourself with people that are like yourself, which is the myth, isn't it? That, you know, your clients, and they're a true reflection of who you are. You have the responsibility to make that client, you know, feel the best about themselves. And sometimes that's not what you can do. It's not in your skill set to make that client feel the best about themselves. You know, there's things that if a client asked me for a perm, I wouldn't even know where to begin. So I couldn't possibly deliver a perm to a client and not think myself silly about, you know, oh, I didn't do that, or actually, you know, I haven't done one for years, do you reckon she can tell? Or there's so many things that go into it. We were saying about sometimes when a client comes in for a consultation, I will openly be honest about saying, actually, I think with your haircut, I think so and so might be the best hairdresser for you. And that's meaning that you're not depriving that client of someone else's skill set, whereas sometimes you might have that skill set but not to the extreme that the client wants. You're not making yourself a misery, but you know, you end up with that client and that's absolutely incredible, but you know that they could be better off with another designer.
And then you've got it in the salon that you can recommend who the other designer is.
Yeah, definitely. And I think equally, you have to be honest. I think that's the one thing. It's like you could end up in 30 years time with a clientele that they don't really appreciate you and you don't necessarily appreciate them. It's really hard, because then I think it's so much easier to fall out of love with your job. It's like I've always said, and I stand by the fact that, because most clients ask you, like, you know, do you enjoy being a hairdresser?
Yeah.
And I will openly admit, I don't think it's about hairdressing. I think, luckily for me, I have surrounded myself with a clientele that I really enjoy. And I think, hopefully, I will never fall out of love with hairdressing because I enjoy my clientele. Now I think of them more as friends rather than clientele, because we know so much about each other and they trust you and I trust them. And I think it wouldn't be the same story if I didn't enjoy my clientele and my clientele didn't enjoy me. I think I would think a lot about hairdressing. Is that enough to make you stay in the job? I think your clients have got to be an extended version of yourself to make you the happiest.
I think that goes back to what you were saying at the beginning about being 100% your true self with your clients during the consultation.
Yeah, definitely.
So they know exactly
who you're getting, what you're about, what that client needs from you, what you need from them.
Yeah.
You have got to be honest.
How long do you think it took you to build up a clientele?
It took me a while, and I think it's one of those things that it will never end. You've got to learn a lot about yourself and what you can deal with and what you can't deal with. And there's so many different avenues on the way of building up your columns and things like that. What do you want it to look like? Do you want it to be mainly men? Do you want it to be women? Do you want it to be everyone else in between? Would you feel more comfortable cutting kids' hair?
Yeah.
That's okay. You know, but I think no one gives you that. And it's not like one day you walk into your training and they say, well, right, this is the clientele options. What one do you want? So I think it's like I've always said, I couldn't tell my average age of clients because I enjoy looking after everyone. However, equally, I would have kept every single one of those clientele because I enjoy them and they enjoy me and they keep coming back. So they must enjoy me. So it is really hard. And I think it will never end. But equally, I think sometimes now it's like I've looked after clients so long, they might not be nice one appointment. And I'll go, do you know what? That's so-and-so. She's having a really bad day. And I can tell that. Whereas, like, say, for example, if, you know, you're surrounded by clientele that are always like that.
Yeah.
That's going to be really tough.
Yeah, of course.
And I think it's nice when you refer to your clients as friends, you know, you're just being open and honest again. And it's nice because you're distanced enough that you don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But also you're a friend. You're an active in their life. So I think it's nice for you to go home and say, oh, you know, well, I hope so-and-so does really well with so-and-so, but that's as much as you know.
Yeah,
which is really good, because then you can't take it home too much.
No, that's what I was going to ask. How do you make sure that, you know, if the clients are telling you stuff in a therapy session, how do you make sure you don't take that home? Because that must be exhausting.
I think like I said, it's really hard. There's been so many times where people tell you things out of confidence. It's like, years ago, I had a client and she was really, really, really quiet. And all of a sudden, I think I was midway through the consultation, she said, I'm pregnant. And I said, oh, okay. Because obviously you don't know them yet. So is it a congratulations? Is it an are you okay? And she said, sorry. She said, I needed to get it out. You're the first person that I've told.
Oh, wow.
And it's things like that that you're like, okay, that's cool. Do you want to talk about it? Be there for them.
Yeah.
But also not knowing what the partner's name is, not knowing what the mum's name name is. So it's really hard because you've got to be there for them. You know, you've got to build up trust and relationship. Also, there's a very fine line between like, okay, cool, but let's not say any more, because actually I don't want to find out any more about them, because I'm then going to start to think about them even more, and then it is too much.
Yeah.
And then obviously every time you see them, you're going to ask about XYZ rather than hair being the first thing that you ask about. It is hard because human people are human people, but they've come to you because you're a professional. So you've just got to remember that as much as you can.
Once the client's left and you're just thinking about that client, what kind of things do you think about?
So I think it's very important. Like, we all kind of ask ourselves, well, what went wrong with that client? What could I have done differently? And what do I need to remember for next time? What went well for that client? If they left with a smile on their face, you know that something went well. You know that even if they were happy with the hair, but actually you solved this massive life mystery that they've been talking about for years, and they still leave with a smile on their face, you know that you've done something well that appointment. And I think that gives you confidence as well to, you know, next appointment, oh, I'm so excited because she really liked her hair this time. Think of how much better it can look in the future when we start to trust each other more and open up to each other more, and we start to do different things. I think it's most importantly, I find that sometimes the what went well is the fact that we did a really successful haircut. For next time, what could be improved is that we actually do the color. So then I always find, if I've done a client's color as a new client but I haven't cut it, that will never look 100% perfect.
Really?
Because the finishing is the overall. It doesn't matter what that color looks like, but have you finished it off correctly?
Yeah.
So I think sometimes that's okay if, you know, you haven't, you've just blow dried it, whatever. But it's nice to know that next time we're going to do a haircut. And then I think the what do I need to remember for next time is all of what I've just said. I think it can go on your retail plan. So make a little note. You know, you've said for your next appointment that you might want to talk about oil. You might want to talk about shine spray. You might even want to invite that client in. She says she really struggles with curling her hair. Get her to bring her straighteners in.
Yeah.
Get her to do lots of different things. Be an active role. The booking system is there for a reason, and make use of it.
Yeah.
Don't just have it as a, you know, like an inactive ingredient into your whole relationship. Have it as, you know, that's a form of making notes. That's a form of remembering the kid's name that she's just had 2 weeks ago. That's,
yeah.
You know, there's so much that goes on in a life of a hairdresser that I think it is there. Don't do paragraphs because you're never going to read it. I would just say bullet points. Bullet points are best.
Yeah.
Or even like, you know, they've just been on their once of a lifetime trip to Canada. Just write down Canada, because it will jog your memory anyway.
And yeah, completely.
It is nice because that client then feels that, you know, you're the only person in their chair at that time, and they are the most important to you at that time.
Yeah, completely.
So I think you do have a lot of responsibility of, you know, remembering that client and talking about what we talked about 6 months back or a year back or even 2 weeks ago. So it is difficult, but you have got that responsibility, which I think is hard. You know, all of the ingredients are there to make it easier.
Yeah.
It's just that we have to use them in the right way.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to add about consultation? Any other kind of like top tips or anything that you think maybe we haven't covered that we should cover?
Consultations are the biggest part of hair. Everything starts from a consultation. It's like you couldn't go into a garage and they say, here's my car, this is it. But no one knows what they're fixing.
No.
So you go to professionals for a reason. And I think we've got to hone in on the fact that, you know, we are professionals, and these are the questions that we need to ask to get that knowledge out of that client that we need to complete the service. So I think it is the absolute biggest part of hairdressing. You know, it's talked about so often, but it's not talked about enough.
Yeah.
It's a similar situation into lots of things that's happening in the world. You know, we do it on a daily basis, but is it the best that they can ever be?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. So I think it's just to revisit your consultations, because even if you don't know how to do a haircut, you might actually break it down in a consultation and go, actually, I can do that haircut, because I've just thought about it so much, and from what the client has said, you fill yourself with more confidence that you are the best that you can be, and I think it allows you to be the best that you can be. So I think definitely consultation is the biggest part, but other than that, there's so much that goes into it, and it's hard.
Yeah,
it is really hard to think of particular points.
How long do you think it was until you kind of stopped thinking about what you were going to say next in the consultation and started really listening to the client?
Every client's different. You know, your questions might differ, but you're still getting the same response.
Yeah.
You know, I was always taught from quite a young age to only ask open-ended questions.
Yeah.
However, like now I ask quite a lot of closed questions.
You do, you?
Because sometimes it goes back to us saying earlier about consultation sometimes can be really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And actually, you might just need a yes or a no.
Yeah.
You know, it could be something as simple as, you know, does the client like her hair now? And she goes, whatever. Yeah. Doesn't actually give you any solid evidence.
Yeah.
So you could ask, do you like it long? Yes or no?
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, cool. Right. Next question is an open-ended question.
Yeah.
And then it could say, you know, in a consultation where they're about colour and they say, well, don't know what colour. Do you want it blonde? Yes or no?
Yeah.
And it is quite easy because then you can, it reels you on to the next and the next. And there's so many open but closed questions that could also be useful. And I think that is important to say, obviously your consultation can't all be closed questions, but they are quite an important thing that I do use day in, day out.
Yeah.
Just because it's easier.
If you need to get an answer because you're not really definitely getting somewhere.
It's like even, it's not necessarily new clients. It could be, you know, regulars that you've seen them for so many years and they've just become complacent.
Yeah.
They think they know what you're doing. And you know, you do that because you've seen them for so many years. But they might say, well, you know, I'm booked in for a full head of foils, but you just do whatever you want. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Like, you know, we've built up this relationship. So I do feel confident in our do whatever you want and you'd like it.
Yeah.
But do you like it to be blonde? No. Right. Okay. That's cool. We'll do darker. What kind of dark? There's so many things that you could kind of say about closed questions and how much it, you know, it does also help. You can sense that the client is feeling overwhelmed. They're a good tool to pull out.
So how long should a good consultation last?
Hardest question. I don't think there is a right or a wrong.
No.
I would probably say around 8 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
I think particularly if it's a new client.
Yeah.
During the first, like, let's say, 5 minutes, you want to build up a relationship of some description. So you're kind of not going in all guns blazing with straight away talking about hair. You're kind of complimenting, oh, that's a nice necklace.
Yeah.
Just to make them feel a little bit more comfortable. Or, you know, there's so many things you've got to mirror them while they're sat down. So they feel a little bit more comfortable. If they've sat there, you know, in their tracksuit and they've got their legs on the chair and you're sat there with crossed arms, they're going to think, you know, it's a bit awkward straight from the get-go. So there's so much that goes into the first, I would say, 10 minutes of meeting a client. Or even it could be as simple as you don't know what they're doing today. You've got to ask them what they're doing. Why are they having their hair cut today out of all of the days in the year?
Yeah.
And they might go on a tangent for about 10 minutes, but that's okay because you can't close them off because they're a new client. Whereas like your regulars, you can say, all right, calm down. So it is really hard. I think for a regular client, I would probably say my average is probably about 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Again, like I said in one point earlier, it's my challenge that I want to change something.
Yeah.
Every time I do a new client. So it might just be things about that I'm asking a little bit more, but most of the time, because I know that a client's got a dry scalp or a sensitive scalp, I don't always need to revisit it every time.
One thing that I just realised that we haven't talked about is we do the consultation sitting down.
Yes.
So as an organisation, we're very anti doing the consultation in the mirror. Why do you think that is?
I think it brings me back to what I've practically just said. You want to mirror that client and you want them to feel very comfortable with you. I think sometimes when I've even watched on YouTube and things like that, other hairdressers that are doing consultations in the mirror, it looks uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It looks awkward. I think sometimes as well, you don't want that client to read into it too much. And it's such an assertive dominance, let's say, of you standing over that client that it is extremely awkward. However, we don't do every single moment of the consultation sat down. There will be certain points where we do get up and we do ask to touch the client's hair. We stand up occasionally. So it is nice to kind of bring them back in the room for a certain minute, but it just feels a whole lot more natural. It feels comfortable. And I think the client probably feels a hell of a lot nicer about that. It is nice. I do find that it is a hell of a lot better.
It's funny because I can't think, maybe there was a thing last year about somebody asking permission to touch the hair and it was in the news. I can't remember what it was. And like quite a few of my friends were shocked with the fact that we asked permission to touch the hair. And you think, you would do.
I know. It is crazy. I think it's also really like, you know, on a day to day when I ask clients if I can touch their hair, the amount of clients who go, oh, it's really greasy, or that's normal.
Yeah.
Like that's okay. I go back to her from a few years ago that, you know, I spoke to this client and she said to me, why is it whenever I come to the salon, my hair looks awful? I said, well, obviously, because if your hair looked really good, you wouldn't go to the salon, right? So I do say that to quite a lot of my clientele. Yeah. It is just bringing them back in the room, but also it's nice to ask permission because sometimes people, like I think I'm quite chatty, I'm quite honest, open, whatever. And I do have a few clientele that they don't like having the hair touch.
No. Yeah.
That is absolutely fine. You know, there will be some times where they do say that. And even if you just store that away in your brain, as you know, that's knowledge, and they don't feel as comfortable as some of your other clientele. There's so many ways that people can annotate asking permission to have their hair touched. There's so many different, you know, statements that a client could say. It is quite interesting to see most people go, yeah, whatever, you do you. You know, there might be some times where a client might say, you know, or actually my scalp's a bit sensitive, or, you know, actually I've got dandruff at the moment. And we're like, yeah, cool, whatever. Yeah. That's normal.
Yeah.
So I think it is nice that clients are honest with you about that. Whether or not they would have been as honest if I didn't ask permission is something that we'll never know.
I think it's that professionalism again, isn't
it? Yeah, God, yeah. Having an element of control. So you might be all buddy-buddy with someone and that's absolutely perfect. Do you actually know what you're doing?
Yeah.
Don't know. So I think sometimes there might be some clientele where I've looked after for a series of years. In the first 5 minutes, we'll just talk about life. But as soon as I stand up, that means that we're going into hair talk now.
Yeah.
Your clients will learn off of you. And I think that's important to really do as well. And I think most people, you could sit there for 45 minutes and have a chat about life. But that's not why they came here.
No.
They came here for something.
And they're paying for their hair.
They're paying for their hair. So it is very important. And I think gladly we do have that step, because I don't know what step that would be if we didn't have it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the perfect time from, you know, you've chatted a little bit about the hair and now all of a sudden you're standing up and you're starting to touch it and you're feeling for yourself. And you could say, well, actually it feels a little bit dry, and that leads you on to doing treatments and stuff like that. So I think it is really good. And I do quite like where in the consultation we kind of do it, which is after you're asking, because you start to feel for yourself. You start to see for yourself things that, you know, the client might not enjoy about their own hair.
So it's the analysing bit.
Yeah, it's the analysing bit. Yeah. And I think that is probably one of the most important parts about our consultation, is the analysing and seeing, well, actually a client might not even recognise that they have dry scalp and they've been using Head and Shoulders for however long, and, you know, it's not clearing it up.
No.
Or you might go, actually the reason your hair hasn't been behaving is because of this layer that you've got in your hair. But you wouldn't know that until you've touched the hair. You wouldn't know that until you've touched it to see how it feels in your hands. You have no idea. So I do think it's extremely important.
Yeah, completely. So when we relaunched our consultations and we did the workshops, one of the things that we've reintroduced is a new question, which, you know, some of the designers may have been asking before, but we didn't necessarily have it set in stone.
Yeah.
And the new question was, has there been any changes to your hair or scalp since the last visit? And I think that we did that because you were already asking your clients that.
Yeah, it's a very important question to ask. You know, even if a client just sees it as like reflection as to actually, is there any differences? You know, people might not always give it the benefit of a doubt to actually think of your scalp or your hair between appointment. And I think it is quite important for us to ask, because there could be so many different things. I find that personally, my hair behaves more in the winter than what it does in the summer. So it's even things like that. But, you know, it takes a few times to actually think about it. Or a client could be potentially going down a changing route where they're entering stages of menopause, or there's so many different things. And I think it also helps your client to be open and honest with you. There's a lot of points in there where they could discuss, say, something that, you know, well, actually their skin's been really misbehaving, so maybe it's got the same effect on their scalp, or, you know, actually their hair isn't very good at the moment and I wonder why that is. And it opens up a whole can of worms to actually pick out more of a specialist kind of routine for your client, which helps in favour to form a bond and a relationship with that client, because you know what you're talking about, and most of the time it works in their favour.
Well, how would you handle it if you notice something that perhaps the client isn't aware of? I'm thinking predominantly of hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
How would you approach that to the client when you can see that they've obviously lost some of their hair? Mm. How would you talk to them about it?
So I've had quite a few experiences where the client has noticed subconsciously. So between appointments, they might actually start to say, can we add in a few more layers? Can we, you know, make it, I don't know, it's lacking in volume at the moment. And you start to notice and you think, oh, when's going to be the right time to say about something? And I think it is a really, really, really hard conversation to have, especially, you know, based on you might have been looking after them for years and you know that something's changed. I think sometimes what's really hard and perhaps why a client doesn't always notice is the fact that they wake up with that hair every morning. So every morning when they run their hands through it or their brush through it, it feels the same as what it did yesterday. Yeah. However, because I see them every 6 to 12 weeks, I notice a change almost dramatically because I haven't seen them. So in those last, let's say 12 weeks, if they're on the latter end of the scale, you know, they might have lost quite a bit of hair. Quite often people say, I do lose a lot of hair. And I think, well, okay, that's cool. And you've got to give them that fact of, you know, people lose between 50 to 150 hairs per day. And quite a lot of my clientele know that because once upon a time that would have come up in conversation. And I think now it's quite easy for clients to say, you know what you told me ages ago between that 50 to 150 hair? And I'm like, yeah. They said, well, I think it's a little bit more now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool. I've noticed perhaps a little bit more. Do you want to work together and see if there's things that we can help to, you know, relieve the situation? Or, you know, there might be different products out there that if they are losing hair, that's fine. That's not embarrassing. That's absolutely cool. People do lose hair. There's so many different factors. Mm. So I think if you're both knowledgeable on the fact, you know, this is happening, then she can go away, your clientele can go away, whoever that may be, and, you know, experience, well, you know, Lucy said it might be stress. Am I stressed? Like, and just write down different things. You know, is something changing? Am I on my period? Are my hormones all over the place?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different ways that you can be going down. So in that next 6 weeks, you can kind of start to reflect, or the client can start to reflect on what might be causing it.
Yeah.
And then in the 6 weeks when I see them for their appointment, they could say, actually, I was stressed out about XYZ and now have a feel. Does my hair feel good? And I'm like, yeah, amazing. Like, it could be something as simple as that. Or if it's something, let's say, you know, menopause or things, you know, your hormones are all over the place and what you used 4 years and years and what you use now might, you know, might have to be completely different.
Yeah.
That's normal. No one needs to know. It's just one of those things that, again, you would have built up the trust at this point that that's okay, like, to chat about things that, you know, you might feel a bit uncomfortable talking about.
Mm.
But that's 100% normal.
So if the client doesn't mention it, at what point should you mention it?
I think that's a hard one. Typically, what I tend to do is, you know, ask the relative questions of, you know, has it always been like this? Clients typically, they know subconsciously if it has always been like that, because they will say things in the way that, you know, my one and only hair product is a mousse. And
you're
like, right, okay, they lack in volume because they've only ever used that.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to cross that bridge first, determine whether or not they have always been like that. And if they haven't, you have got to say about it.
Yeah.
I think it is a responsibility, you know, that you take on yourselves. But the way that it comes across could be really awkward. You could just say, I have noticed over the last few appointments that I think you've been losing a little bit more hair than what's regular, you know, and back it up with a fact of, you know, on average, people lose between 50 to 150 hairs. And that could be, you know, 150 be on the really fine hair, but people have got a lot of hair on the head, or 50 might be really thick core strands. And it is a really hard question.
Mm.
It is a really hard statement to say, but make them feel as comfortable and let them know that there are things out there that can help them.
Thank you, Lucy. Your advice has been invaluable. Thank you for tuning in to the Feel Good Hairdressing Podcast from Hair Art Education. We really hope you have enjoyed this episode. Before you go, don't forget to follow, rate, and leave us a fabulous review on your favourite podcast platform. Your support means the world to us. We would love to connect with you. Follow us on Instagram at Hair Art Education. And if you've not yet listened to our previous series, go to our website, www.hairart.co.uk, where we also have some freebies for you to help you run your business. See you next time.